possess the land that God gives you, how to accomplish these things that the Bible talks about in your own life today. And if you want to know what the best kind of life is for a Christian, I'm going to explain it to you in the best way I know how. Many, many years ago, when I got out of college, myself and several of my friends signed up for the Army. And we signed on the dotted line, and from that point on, our life really wasn't our own, because they told us on a certain day, at a certain time, we were going to have to report at a certain place, get on a bus, and that bus would take us to, in this case, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And so we got there at the right time, got on the bus, and from the moment we got on that bus, our life really was not our own. But also, I can say this, we never had to worry about anything. We didn't have to worry about clothes. We didn't have to worry about food. We didn't have to worry about a place to sleep. And we didn't have to worry about what we were going to do one day or the next, because they told us what time to get up. They told us what time to go to bed. They gave us the clothing we needed. They gave us the food we needed at the right time. We didn't have to worry about things. Only thing we had to be concerned about was obeying what they told us to do and doing the assignment they called us to. And that's basically what the Christian life is. Jesus put it this way: seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. In other words, if you seek God first and seek his righteousness, you're not going to have to worry about food and clothing and housing and all these other details of life. The only thing you need to be concerned about is listening to God, seeing what he wants you to do on a daily basis, and doing that. And he said, if you do that, I'll provide all the rest of it. But what we usually am doing is fighting for food and fighting for this and fighting to have things and fighting to have all this stuff which we can't take with us when we're with the Lord. And we got the whole thing confused because we're seeking things first and God second. Are you listening to me? He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things you won't have to worry about, because God will take care of those things in your life. Another thing was, we always listened early in the morning. We didn't even have to worry about what time to get up. Could it be a trumpet call? Are you listening? I mean, we'd hear the trumpet, we'd get up, and we knew we had a certain time to get in company formation, and then we were going to get an assignment for what we were going to do that day, and all we had to do was do what they told us to do, because they always had food, they always had all this other stuff. And that's basically what God says to do. But what Satan tries to get us to do is to get involved in the details of life. What we're going to eat, what we're going to do, where we're going to live, what we're going to do with this. And we worry about all this stuff. And the only reason we do is because we don't put God first in the whole thing. Jesus tells us very simply how to live life. I'm telling you how it's going to be in heaven. I will guarantee you in heaven you're not going to worry about food and clothing. You're not going to worry about where it came from. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, you'll find out that Adam and Eve didn't worry about their clothing and they didn't worry about their food. They didn't have to go out and dig in the ground and work and do all that stuff. All they had to do was what God told them to do. He said, go into all the earth and fill the earth and rule the earth and take care of this thing. I'm giving it to you. And basically, that's what we are to do in our Christian life. He gives us our life. He gives us, and if we listen carefully, he'll tell us where to be and so forth. And if we follow him, we won't have to worry about the enemy. Now, a very interesting thing happened at Fort Hood in Texas, as you know. They didn't listen to the warning signs. They didn't listen to what they should have been listening to, and they allowed the enemy to get into the camp, and there was a disaster. Are you listening to me? That same thing can happen in your life if you don't listen to the Lord and you're not listening to God. And that's why I've been teaching about hearing from God all these weeks, because it's extremely important. Because if you don't, the enemy will get in the camp and cause all kinds of devastation. And I don't want that to happen in your life. You don't want it to happen in your life. And God tells us very simply how to do all of this. And all we have to do is do it. Now, I'll tell you something. I've been talking about many times when God speaks to you, he'll speak to you just like a bubbling stream bubbling up, and he just starts giving you this information. And that happened. That doesn't happen to me as often as I would like, but it did happen to me this week, and I'm going to tell you what God said, because it's for all of us. And this isn't what I said. This is what God said. I remember when I was in high school, I used to run in track, and we'd have a mile run, and a mile relay, rather, and there'd be four guys running a quarter mile. And it'd be some guy would start it, it'd be the number two guy, number three guy, and then the fourth guy. We had one guy that if he ran the mile, he ran an average race till he got to the final lap. And that final lap, he had a kick. He could take off. And if he was leading in the final lap, the race was won because nobody was going to catch him. And we always put him at the fourth man. And we had an average track team, but we had that guy on our relay team, and we won a particular track meet with a lot of bigger schools than ours because we had the right guy. Well, God says, and this is what he told me, he said, we've been running the mile, and we're in the final lap. We're in the final lap. As far as the world's scene is concerned, and before Jesus Christ comes, we're in the final lap, and it's time to kick in, and it's time to give it all we got, because I'm going to tell you, it's going to come to an end. This world, as we know it now, is going to come to an end. Jesus Christ is going to come for his people, and God said, lay aside every weight, lay aside every worry, lay aside every care that's going to keep you from running this final lap that's going to give you the reward in the end. Amen. Now, that's exactly where we're at, folks. And so this is the time, if you've been running this race and just kind of playing with it, now's the time to kick in. Now's the time to lay away all this stuff that would hinder you from hearing the trumpet call and doing what God wants you to do on a daily basis, because that's what this thing's all about. And I know that a lot of churches don't teach people responsibility, but God does. And so therefore, that's what God is saying now. We're headed for the finish line. Now's not the time to give up, give in, but look up, because Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, the biggest failure for any person in life is to be successful in life, but not at what God assigns you to do. There's a lot of people successful in this life are going to end up in eternal hell. There are a lot of people that are well known and famous, and everybody bows down when they come by, but they're not going to be at the before Jesus. And they're not going to get rewards in this life because they were a success in the world and the flesh, but they weren't successful in what God called them to do. Are you listening to me? So I don't care if you're married, you have kids, you've got jobs, you may have two jobs. I don't know what you have. You may have no job. But we need to be listening to the trumpet call every day. And we need to ask God, what time do you want me to get up? What time do you want me to read the Word of God? What time do you want me to prepare for this day? And then let God give the assignment. Yes, you go to work. Yes, you do what you're supposed to do. But you're listening to God because God had divine appointments wherever you are. And the issue is that he will tell you where to live if you ask him. You see, but we say, oh, God, we'll take care of this, and then when we need you, we'll call. That's not the way you do it. That's the opposite way of God wants you to do it. Most of us are doing our own thing, and then when we get in trouble, we call on God. Well, I'm happy to say he will answer, but he's going to start telling you the things I'm telling you right now, because it doesn't change. God doesn't change. This is not the time to worry, and this is not the time to hold back. This is the time to move forward in Jesus' name. You will be successful if you do these things that I'm talking about today. You will be a success in life. You will be able to stand before the throne of God and say, God, I've done everything that you called me to do that I knew how to do at the best of my ability with your help. Hallelujah. You see. And these things just kept coming. And God talks to me when I'm shaving. And it took me a half an hour to shave because I kept running and writing things down, running back and shave a little more. He'd say something else. I'd run back and write it down. Now, that's God speaking. I wish he spoke like that all the time. He is, but I don't always hear. And he said, go for it. Go for every reward. Go for every soul in Christ. Risk it all because it's going to be worth it when you stand before Jesus. Are you listening? There isn't anything you're going to give up in this life that God's not going to give you 100-fold when you stand before him. You see. And we just get this whole thing backwards and we get bogged down in all these things of the Lord when we need to surrender to it, listen to it. There's always somebody says, I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to do. And yes, you're going to fail. I'll tell you right now, try that in the army. You'll end up in jail, you see. And that's what a lot of Christians do. They end up in jail. Satan grabs them off and gets them into something that keeps them away from the best that God has, you see. And so it's a total surrender. Ask for divine favor. My goodness, I ask for it all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. Ask for revival. Ask for your family to be saved. Ask for your friends to be saved. And then be involved in that situation, you see. It's always God's work, and then there's our work. But our work is under God's work, you see. And so we can ask for these things. Ask for revival. Two things are necessary. It's very simply this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, your neighbors, yourself, and then seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you did those two or three things, you'd be a success in life, you see. But for some reason, we don't grasp a hold of what God says, and we just kind of float through life and we don't get the best of it. Now I'm going to tell you how to take the ground in your life. I'm going to tell you how to make your marriage successful. I'm going to tell you how to be successful on your job. I'm going to tell you how to be successful in life if you listen, because God very simply gives this in his word. It's very clear, it's very plain, and God wants you to know what this is all about. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 27. That's the fifth book in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. And we want to go to chapter 27 and verse 3. Now, one of the greatest examples, and I talk about this a lot, and I always will be how this little band of people, well, they weren't real small. There was probably 2 to 3 million of them. But they went in and took the promised land, and I'm going to tell you, the most fierce, awfulest, demonic, Satan-indwelled people you'll ever see in your life had that land, and God said, go in and take it. And these people weren't even warriors. They weren't even soldiers as we think of them. The Deuteronomy 27 and verse 3. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over the Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God gives you, You shall set up stones. You're going to make a monument there before what I have done. And he's talking about, the point was they were to go in and take the promised land. Now, the promised land was indwelled by a bunch of demonized tribes, and there were several tribes, actually seven of them, interesting enough. So that means that land was the most ungodly, demonized land that it could ever possibly be, and God said, I want you to go in and take it. Now, what I want you to tell you, God wants you to take the world, the flesh, and the devil in your life. He wants you to take the land of your life. He wants to conquer the land of your life, because before you were a Christian, it belonged to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Your life belonged to the world and the flesh and the devil. You were born into that life because of the sin of Adam. We've talked about that before. So there had to be a time where you were born again. How do you sign up for the things of God? You are born again. You receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's just the beginning of the process. And then God wants to, He wants the rest of your life for you to take the land of your life. Now, God plans to do greater things in your life than you could possibly imagine. Some of you might say right now, if you look at your life, that it's been a total failure. Well, that's a good place to start, you see. Now you have to start giving it over to God. You haven't got anything to lose if you're a total failure. You have nothing to lose whatsoever. But people want to hang on to that. Personal failure, I guess, is better than nothing. And so people hang on to it. But God wants you to start moving on, because He's got greater things than you could ever imagine for your life. Now, He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to lift you up. He took an idol worshiper, a guy that worshiped the moon. You ever heard of somebody howling at the moon? It doesn't amount to too much. Doesn't change the moon at all. Well, he was howling at the moon over there in Ur of the Chaldees. I mean, he didn't have a clue as to what was going on. He was lost, destined for eternal hell. And God got his attention. And God started speaking to him. God had a plan for him he couldn't imagine. God said, leave your family. I got a place I want you to go. And when you get there, I'm going to tell you what to do. Well, he kind of messed around with it. It took him 7 years to get there. He just kind of messed around along the way. You know, I remember I used to walk to school. It was about 2 miles. And I had a great time. We used to have a contest of how many pop cans and beer cans we could kick all the way to the school, 2 miles. Oh, we just messed around. You know, we didn't concentrate. We weren't concentrating on school, I'll tell you that right now. We were looking at the sky. We were doing everything imaginable. We were playing around with it. But I'll tell you, we eventually got there. And that's what God says. I don't know what you've been doing now, but let's get there now. This is time to kick it in. This is the last lap. Now is the time to give it all up and let God do exactly, totally what He wants to do in your life now. Go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And we're going to look a little bit at what he talked to Abraham about, the guy that was howling at the moon over there in Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now, God tells him something to do. I find out that when God speaks to you, a lot of times he tells you something to do. Now, so the issue is, are you going to do it or not? Now the Lord said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you, because if he stayed there, he would never do what God called him to do. Now God had to get me out of my father's house, out of the state of Missouri, and bring me to Illinois to do what he wanted to do. I would have never imagined it when I was growing up. But that's what he wanted me to do. And so I did it and eventually ended up here where I was supposed to be. But he said, you leave your father's house, I'm going to show you a new land. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He said to Abraham, the guy howling at the moon, I want to make a nation out of you. Can you imagine? One guy that didn't know anything about God. He said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. God can make a nation out of you. God can do things you can't possibly imagine. And so he goes on, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And Abraham's probably down there, you know, he's looking at the moon and then he's listening to God. He's looking at the moon and he's listening to God. What's he going to do? He's used to the moon. And I will bless you and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Man, that's a mouthful in a short period of time. But God said, that's your potential. That's what I've called you to do on this earth. You don't do anything else. I don't care if you're a great. You could play for the Chicago Bears. It doesn't make any difference. I want to make a nation out of you. That was God's plan for Abraham's life. There wasn't any other plan. There wasn't plan B or any of that stuff. So what we have to do is find out what God's plan for us. Look in Genesis 15 and verse 4. Genesis, God isn't through yet. And said, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, talking about Abraham, saying, your servant's not going to be your heir, but he that will come out of your own loins shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look up to heaven and count the stars. That's how big your generational family is going to be. Can you imagine? It didn't get any bigger than that. Abraham was 75 years old, didn't even have a child. And God said, look up at the sky and count the stars. That's how big your generations are going to be. I would say that's probably a little bigger plan than Abraham had in the first place, don't you think? Just a little bit. Well, God has a plan. I'm not going to tell you, he's going to tell you, look up the stars, you're going to be a nation. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to tell you to look somewhere, because he has something that he wants to accomplish before he comes for your life. These were given to Abraham when he was 75 years old, didn't have a child, and he said, you're going to have millions of descendants. And Abraham did what most of us do. He said, well, God, since I haven't had a natural child, he and his wife got together and said, why don't you go into the maid and you can have a child by her, since we don't seem to be having one. And he did, the biggest mistake of his life. But right on time, the child came. His name was Isaac. And through Isaac came the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you believe God has a plan? God wants to work through you, just like he worked through Abraham, he worked through Isaac, and Christ came through that. God wants Christ coming through you in a plan that he has for your life. And it doesn't mean he's going to change where you're working necessarily. He might. It doesn't mean he's going to change where you live. He might. But what it does mean, that you're listening every day to the trumpet call that tells you to get up, and then he's going to explain, if he has something for that day especially, he's going to tell you what it is. Now, he may not speak to you every day, so you go ahead and do what you normally do in the Lord, and hopefully you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, what happened back in those days when God, he spoke to another guy, his name was Moses, and he said, Moses, I want you to go down. Moses was out in the hill country. He was just having a good time out there watching the sheep, and he didn't have a care in the world. And God said, I want you to go down to Egypt, the world, and I want you to bring my people out of there. I want you to bring my people out of there. Moses said, whoa, hold it, hold it here. That can't be right. You must have the wrong guy. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. This isn't, no way that's going to happen. And you know, that's what most of us think before we ever start. Let's be honest about it. God said, I want you to witness to your family and say, whoa, wait a minute, God, I'll get the pastor to go over there and talk to him. Well, that's all right. But the issue is, he may want you to do it. My family got saved because just after I got saved and knew very little of anything, God told me to witness to my family. I did, and he did. He didn't use anybody else. It wasn't because I was so wonderful. I knew nothing other than what God did. That's all he had to have. And God went through my family like a fire, and it didn't, wasn't because I was so wonderful, I guarantee you that. But it was because he was. We're on the last lap. It's time to kick in. It's not time to mess around kicking cans to school. Are you listening to me? We need to focus on what God's doing these days, because there's not a lot of days we're going to have a chance, an opportunity to do it. Now, look in Exodus 4 and verse 10, very next book after Genesis. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. I'm going to show you I didn't make this up. And you know, God puts this stuff in there because he wants us to see what he can do through somebody, and he wants us to quit complaining we can't do it. Just that simple. Why else would he write it down? Why would he? Moses wouldn't have wanted him to have written it down, I'll tell you that right now. But he did it for our benefit. Exodus 4 and verse 10. And Moses said, oh Lord, I'm not eloquent. Oh God, neither henceforth nor since thou hast spoken unto your servant, and I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Lord said unto him, who made your mouth? That was pretty good. Pretty good comeback there by God, right? Who made your mouth? I can do anything with your mouth I want to do. I can do anything with your life I want to do. All you got to do is give it to me and I'll do it. Are you listening to me? I say, are you listening to me? Yes. All right. He's talking to us. And the Lord said, or who makes the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I, said the Lord. Now, therefore, go. I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. He didn't have to worry about it. He said, just get your mouth where I want it, and I'll teach you what to say. But you have to be in the right place, you see. And this just shows us how God works. God says he wants to do something. You say, whoa, that looks like it's impossible. But God said, I made your mouth, go where I want to go, and I'll tell you what to say. I said, okay. Now, it goes on. Finally, the Lord got upset with him. Didn't the Lord get angry? I think so. He's going to have 7 years of it coming. Are you listening to me? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He said, okay, get your brother, and I'll speak through him, but you're going to miss the blessing here on this thing. And he said, bring him here, I'll put words in his mouth, and he'll be my mouth, and all that kind of thing. And so he said, okay, I would have spoken through you, but you didn't believe me, so therefore I'll speak through your brother. Now, God's plan is always to do great things as far as he's concerned and we're concerned, and it doesn't mean we have to be a Billy Graham, but you have to be, I'd say, a miniature Billy Graham sometimes where you are, you see. He may not ask you to speak to 10,000 people, but he might have to speak to 10 in your lifetime. And the issue are you're doing it. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here to tell you to start kicking in. It's the last lap. If all we got to do is obey God and believe God, and we can do He can do the supernatural through us, because anything that's of God, God will do through us. It doesn't come originally from us. It comes from God. Go to Deuteronomy 27 and verse 3. We're just kind of working through this thing. Fifth book, Deuteronomy 27 and verse 3. And it says, "And thou shalt write upon them all the words of the law that you are, when you are passed over, that you may go up into the land which the Lord thy God gives it to you." He gives you the Christian life, but you have to go up into it. You have to take it. He gives it to you, but you have to take it. That's what it says here. The God will give it to you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord of the God of your fathers has promised you, and so on. And that's what he said. He said, "I'm giving it to you, but you have to take it. I'm giving you the Christian life, but you have to take it. I'm giving you a church, but you have to show up." Amen. You see, if you don't show up, you're not going to get it. It's just that simple. I didn't say you'll go to hell. I just said you won't get the plan that God has for your life. So we have to obey God. We have to believe he can. We have to hear the trumpet call. We have to get up. We have to prepare. And we listen to God and see if he has an assignment for the day. He said, God said, "I've given it to you, but you have to take it. It's not going to fall into your lap." God calls people, they sit down and wait for it to happen, and it's not going to happen. You have to get out. You have to do what God wants you to do. I don't understand people think that all you got to do is go to church, hear the word of God, and go home. The hearing the word of God is the assignment, and then you prepare to do what God's called you to do. It is not going to fall into your lap. Can you imagine that you're on the job and the boss tells you to go do something, and so you go over and sit down? How do you think that's going to go over? There's a whole bunch of people sitting down for God, and we should be kicking in the last lap. You see, that's the point I'm making. And you say, "Is this a pep talk?" I hope so. I hope it is. I hope it inspires you to be on the move and do what God wants you to do. You know, another example in the Bible. God goes to Jonah and he said, "I want you to go to Nineveh." Now, Nineveh was a nasty place. I mean, Nineveh was always sending out troops and capturing Israelis and killing and raping and doing everything imaginable. And Jonah said, he didn't say anything. He got a slow boat to China. He said, "I'm out of here. I am not doing that assignment. God said, I want you to go over there and I want you to tell them in 40 days I'm going to destroy this place." I thought he'd been happy to tell that message. But no, as you know, he ran the other way. A lot of stuff went on. He got swallowed by a fish. And I mean, it was a nightmare. And finally, he goes over there and he said, "Okay, God." You know, he had enough of that fish, and I understand that. He even smelled like one. And he said, "I've had enough of this." I hope some of us have had enough of trying to do it ourselves without God. It stinks. And then we complain to God, "How did you get me into this mess?" God didn't get you in any mess. You got a ticket on the wrong boat. And so, finally, he says, "Okay, God, anything you say, I've had enough of this." And he goes over there and he walks around the city. 40 days and God's going to destroy this place. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God hit that place. The king got on his face before God. Didn't even know the Lord. Got on his face before God. The whole city repented. One of the greatest revivals of all time. And what I'm telling you, you might have been on the wrong boat, but now's the time to buy the ticket where God wants you to be. It's the last lap. It's time to kick in. It's time to determine. I don't care if you're 75 or you're 95 or whatever it is, it's time to kick in for God. Now, God says, you're healed. What do? Just go sit down and watch television? I hope not. Because he has his part and we have our part, you see. So his part is saying, you're healed. What's our part? Okay, I'm going to start telling you what it is. I'm just going to give you some ideas. Here's some things. We are to do some things. I've been battling something all week. I messed my knee up somehow, and I had a brace on it half the week, and I tell you, I had pain in that dumb thing. And I kept saying, by the stripes of Christ, I'm healed. I don't care what it feels like. I know what God said, and I kept on moving as best I could. And here's some things you do. First thing you start doing, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. You see, that's the first thing. You start thanking him. You say, well, I got pain. It doesn't make any difference. God said you're healed. So, first thing, here's one of the things. Now, I'm really going to get down with it now. You talk to the Lord. Am I breaking any health laws that are causing this problem? God, if I am, show me. You may know already. But this is what you ask God. God, am I doing anything that's allowing this to happen? Am I eating the wrong stuff? Am I not exercising? Am I not doing this or whatever God wants you to do? Then you consult with other people and you ask them to pray for you. You don't keep it to yourself. My wife's been praying for me all week long for this thing. And there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor if you want to go to the doctor, but I'm just saying God said you're healed. Thank him for the healing. And you get somebody else to pray for you. And I'm just telling you this. I'm sorry to tell you this. It's going to be awful. But if all you do is eat at McDonald's, you're going to get sick. I didn't say never eat there. I eat there occasionally. But usually when I'm in a hurry and haven't got time to eat, I grab something. But the point is, you ask God, what am I doing that may have caused this problem? At the same time, you thank you, Lord, for healing me. You drive the throne crazy up there, thanking him for healing you. And finally, he's going to say, I'm tired of this. You're healed. Get up and get moving. And so, do I need to change my lifestyle? Is there anything in my life I need to change besides the eating and anything else I'm doing? Maybe I'm not getting enough sleep. I say, well, I've always been able to sleep 5 hours and I was good. Well, maybe things changed, you see. And you get the proper rest and you're going to ask for prayer. You're going to believe him. You're going to follow his commands. There's things you do is what I'm telling you. And let's look in Exodus 15 and verse 26. Well, if you believe this, say amen. All right, we're getting there. 15:26. There's a little scripture you need to put on the refrigerator. And God said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Now what God said, you got a responsibility. You got to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm not saying He'll not heal somebody that's in sin. I'm just saying you're likely to get it back. You know, if you got lung cancer and keep smoking, whoa, aren't you glad you came today? Amen. I'm not picking on anybody. I mean, I'd do stupid things too. And pay for it usually. Now, the issue is, are you doing what God's called you to do? If He called you to play the piano for Him or play the guitar for Him, are you doing it? Or are you just sitting there and expect something to fall in your lap? It will, your stomach, from doing nothing. Woo, we're sophisticated around here, baby. Oh. Are you faithful in loving God and your neighbor? Are you seeking the righteousness of God? Come on. You see, are you in His Word? Are you surrendering to Him? Are you faithful in church? Are you faithful in giving? That's just basic stuff. That's kindergarten. And some people not even doing the kindergarten stuff. And they say, I just don't understand why God doesn't talk to me, and I can't understand why God isn't doing this or that or something else. I mean, come on. God said you got your part. You got to cross the Jordan River at flood stage. You got to get a sword. You got to learn how to use that thing and go in and take the promised land. The sword is the word of God. You got to have some kind of a, you have to know where Genesis is. That's kindergarten. Oh my. You're going to watch what you eat today, aren't you? No. Okay, well, it's time for me to quit. I'm just getting started. Next time, we're going to have a whole lot more fun. I'm going to talk about your marriage and